I'm doing something very, very normal. Please don't come in. You'll see my butt, and that will be bad, bad, bad.
It should be a stabbing through the front, but the only way you can stab yourself through someone else is from the back.
Surprise! I sprung it on you before you could run away.
I'm going to make the world worse.
Sorry, God chose to allow me to write another book.
That's why I'm always armed, even when having sex.
I will defame you upon the internet.
Good evening to only those who know that Hugh Dancy has for real sent Mads Mikkelsen Hanagram fanfiction.
Welcome to Genre Blind, a podcast where we break down the cliches that make pop culture creamy, scandalous, and cooked to perfection.
Every episode, we use the random trope feature on TV Tropes to spark discussions about the media therein.
You are contractually obligated to phrase all questions or comments in the form of a compliment. This is a swearing podcast. We both have degrees, and you're just gonna have to trust us on this. His name is Diggs Brown.
And her name is Annalie Tominelli. And this is Genre Blind. Programming note, we're not here to hate on tropes. We're here to make you love them. Hey.
I'll have you know that I came up with my descriptor before you came up with your fact.
I forgot I had to have a fact.
But here's the thing, we both made them having to do with food, and now I think that we've done two episodes with cannibalism as the...
Say cannibalism. These could easily be fluffy domestic fics.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't say cooking anywhere in mine. Maybe they're going on a fishing trip.
Listen, I'm not saying that it has to be a central point of the plot. I'm just saying that cannibalism is a pretty... It comes with the territory.
Donate to us on Patreon so we can have a very well-themed Hannibal cooking live stream.
Uh-oh.
All wear a flannel shirt.
Hey, listen, I'd do it. How are you this week, Diggs?
You know, I'm doing all right, as best as I can be with life. How are you?
Gosh, I'm trying to think about anything significant that's happening, or if the monotony of life is just chugging along. I mean, we've started listening to Night Vale in tandem, which is pretty exciting.
We did. We're listening to Night Vale together, an episode a day, trying to survive in this world.
Just dig in.
Yeah, so we apologize for the fact that this is now a Night Vale appreciation podcast.
All right, so we're just going to stop talking about tropes in general, and we're just going to have a review of Night Vale every week.
Hello, listener.
Uh-oh. It's
the
all very
The sun
good.
Is hot, the sky is beautiful, and strange.
Oh, speaking of which, we're fresh off the Magnus Archives finale.
Finale, yeah. When this comes out, it'll have been out for a while at this point, but we are just off of it.
Yeah, so
in one sentence, give me a review.
Oh God, that's okay. Logistically interesting, plot wise spicy.
My review is pleasantly surprised,
yeah.
Mostly impressed with acting. I'm very glad they didn't, like, Marvel us. Like, they didn't just be like, oh, you've guessed the twist? We're going to change it now.
Oh, God. Changing the twist because the audience was smart is so pretentious to me.
It's so fucking rude. Alex Hirsch is the only one we can trust here, where when the audience guessed it, he just, like, moved it up and was like, yes, thank you for playing with me.
Yes, this
is great. So I'm very happy that, like, it wasn't like, out of nowhere, we've come up with a solution. Like, it's actually like, hey, this led up to this and this, yeah.
Remember the mystery that we had? Well, we have a new bad twist that we just came up with right now.
Nah, they did it, yeah.
Also, I mean, logistically, we had the debate of could you stab somebody through somebody else?
We did have this discussion complete with pictures.
Complete with pictures. I'm firmly on the side of no, you could not stab somebody else through another person. Well, you could, but it wouldn't be an effective stabbing, you know?
I'm firmly on the side of you definitely could, it's just Martin will die slowly.
Aww.
We can test it if you want.
I mean, one day I will kill
you. Do you want to kiss and you can stab me through the back and we'll see if you die too?
I thought we agreed that it's a stabbing through the front. What are you doing? What are you doing right
now? But that's the thing. It should be a stabbing through the front, but the only way you can stab yourself through someone else is from the back.
What about a behind kiss?
Well, John doesn't do that.
But here's the thing. I will one day kill you. Mm-hmm. It will not be with a knife.
No.
But
and it'll be in New Hampshire.
It will be in New Hampshire in a lake. But I don't think that if I was to stab you through the back, it would really do an effective job on me. I think I'd get, I think I'd chicken out, personally.
That's fair. That's fair. There is that aspect of, like, how deep you want to put the knife in. But don't you want to make sure, that you've done me in and don't have to stab me again and again and again and again until I stop?
That implies that I would do a sloppy job of killing you the first time, and
that's
I'm
fair.
Frankly insulted.
I know you're not squeamish about killing me. Abigail said she wouldn't.
She wouldn't kill you?
Abigail said she wouldn't stab and kill me.
That's probably a healthy trait in a partner.
Yeah, but like, I was asking, like, what if it was like, what if you had to?
Oh, fair, 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 fair.
Like, you had to, and then she wouldn't, like, totally commit. I think in the end, we could get her there if she had to.
Get you somebody who will love you right and then stab you when the time comes.
Ladies and gentlemen and people who are much smarter than the rest of us, this is my biggest relationship advice. When you first start seeing someone, you need to ask them, if you were bitten by a zombie, would you tell the party? That's the only question. Because if they say no, I would hide it, you fucking run as fast as you can.
You run. They're not going to be upfront about it.
You can't
thing.
Trust them.
Or they're chaotic.
Yeah, you can't trust them.
And want the party to go down with them. Yeah.
Yep.
You are coming down with me.
Hand an unlovable hand. Okay, should we read a trope?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Not this one. Not on this one.
I think that the listeners just want to hear more about us talking about the logistics of romantic stabbing.
We'll get together at some point and really test this out. We'll get a dull knife, or not a dull knife, but like a prop knife. Yeah. And we'll test this. We'll get it.
Write a review of us, and
we can post the pictures of us holding knives.
Oh no, we will. We'll do it. You are
phenomenal.
Down with me.
Hand an unlovable hand. The first trope is dying as yourself.
Oh.
The corruption has taken hold of a character fully, leaving no trace of the original. Basically, it is when you have a character that has been corrupted or mind controlled or put through cold-blooded torture or like whatever it happens to be, and right before they die, they come back to themselves.
Oh, Diggs, you are making me so upset because the first thing that comes to mind is Jekyll and Hyde.
Yes.
The whole bit at the end the novella Jekyll and Hyde ends with this kind of, I'm about to go down, get ready.
Yes, for just a second you're back.
Yeah, it's them being like, hey, Dr. Jekyll, open this door, and him being like, don't come in. I'm changing. Mm. Don't come in.
I'm doing something very normal.
I'm doing something very, very normal. Please don't come in. You'll see my butt, and that will be bad, bad, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Jekyll and Hyde right there.
In a much less dramatic context, this happens in Star Wars.
Ooh.
As Vader is dying, he has Luke take off his helmet, and he looks at him with his own blue Anakin Skywalker eyes.
Oh, man.
And just for a minute,
wow.
It's Anakin. Yeah.
And just for a moment, he realizes that he could have changed everything if he didn't just love ganking children.
Okay, so I was reading a thing about this recently. If you think about Revenge of the Sith, there is a chunk of time where, so like, basically like all the parts of like Palpatine talking to Anakin and him going to the dark side and killing all the young, like, all of that happens within like 48 hours where this man does not sleep. Like, he essentially like has a horrible experience and then just is like completely overtired, exhausted, and then has like Palpatine launch his plan of like, now is the time to manipulate this fool.
Feel
like a lot of Star Wars could have just been averted if Anakin wasn't like an angsty boy who actually slept. Like, I feel like if he had just like passed out and let Mace Windu like kill Palpatine, he would have woken up and been like, oh, that was a much needed nap. I'm glad I didn't murder all of these younglings.
We've all been there where we have been like, oh my god, I am so sleepy that I think maybe I should become a Sith Lord.
Yeah, you've watched me make decisions after not sleeping where I'm like, I'm going to make the world worse.
Yeah, I'm going to choose violence. And the thing is, if Obi-Wan was there to be like, like, hey, listen, just take a sleep. But
take
he
a
was
nap.
Too busy ganking General Grievous to really, like, tend to Anakin. And that's the true disservice of the franchise.
If someone had just been like, hey, Annie, do you want to, like, eat something? Or, like, sit down for a minute? I feel like it would have been fine.
I've got some fruit. I cut up some fruit for you. Just take a nap. It's all good. I like the specification of it's not a mercy killing, because that's something that's pretty common in tropes that are, like, not terribly feminist, to be like, oh, just kill me.
Right.
I'm better off dead, or, like, a mercy killing in that way.
Yeah. And they're completely taken, and it's, yeah.
And yeah, and so, like, and so dying as yourself is interesting. I mean, I always think of the in Repo the Genetic Opera, where he poisoned the medicine, and so now, and he kind of went into a so let the father die and let the monster rise.
Yeah.
And then he gets, like, you know, got by Roddy. And then in his last moments of clarity,
I didn't know I loved you so much.
Yeah, I didn't know I loved you so much.
Have you ever, this is a side note, listened to I Didn't Know I Loved You So Much while watching Uther die in Merlin?
I have never seen Uther die in Merlin.
It hurts.
I'm sure.
Another one, Twin Peaks, with Laura, because she, James describes, like, the night that she died, that was the same old Laura for, like, a few hours, and then gone.
Yeah. I mean, on the similar off-centered horror things in The Exorcist, the priest comes and is like, well, we gotta go.
Yeah.
And then ends up kind of sacrificing himself in order for the demon to be released.
Definitely. This is, I love this trope so much. I like corruption and possession tropes. I really, really love them.
Oh, it's a good trope. It's also good because it, like, I love when a person peeks through the possession and does like head above water. Hey,
yeah.
Help, I'm in here. Anyway, and then back down.
This Percy Jackson.
Oh,
Luke,
no!
Luke.
You right.
Just
Luke.
For a second. It's, hand me the knife, I'm the only one who can kill him.
Oh,
and
my
Luke
God.
Nicks himself right there.
Oh,
in the chink
no.
in his armor. He looks through with his eyes. Kronos' glowing gold eyes go away, and just for a second, it's Luke.
I know that's your type. I know that's your type.
I love meat puppets.
Oh, I know that's your type. But I want to ask you about, I was always kind of shocked by the placement of the weak point. He chooses a part that is well covered by armor, I think on his forearm, is it?
No, and it's Percy... underneath his arm. Like, he armpit region side that's covered by armor.
And Percy chooses, like, the small of his back,
which is, sorry, the dump. Girl, have you not heard of backstabbing, my man?
Yeah, where would you put your Achilles tendon?
Achilles heel, you mean?
Well,
not Achilles tendon.
Achilles heel, but the Achilles tendon is based off of the Achilles heel.
No, I know.
Where would you put your Achilles heel?
First of all, I would never say on air, because danger,
fair.
Will Robinson.
Fair. All right, so I guess we...
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, every time I feel like I think of a spot of like, that seems like a safe place to put it, I realize just how damageable the human body is. Like, the number of times I have texted you or posted on Instagram, like, bleeding again, like, I feel like...
And it's always from a weirder part than the last.
Yeah, none of your, like, extremities are safe. Like, I would never put it on, like, any of my fingers or, like, in between my fingers or stuff like that, because, like, you could lose a finger, right? Like, that's a normal thing that happens to people. You couldn't put it in any of the normal kill places. Like, don't put it on your neck, don't put it on your chest, don't put it in your gut. Like, and then a lot of the limbs are where, like, I couldn't put it anywhere on my wrists because I have a cat, and that's simply
not safe.
Oh
my God, imagine if your cat just killed you by accident.
Just playing, and he just scratched.
Was just playing and accidentally, because it's like extra mega weak. Like, that part is, if you hit it,
you're done.
Well, so along with questions that you won't answer on air, what do you want to be when you grow up?
So the next trope, which was suggested by Night Angel 000, is the antithesis of what Annalie just said, and it's happily ever after. But before we go there, who is dying as yourself?
I would say this trope is you.
I would agree.
You are more likely to be possessed by some dark entity.
I'm trying to get possessed by some dark.
I know, which is why it will happen. You know, you open that door.
That's why we do a podcast together.
Right. We're just putting you on a nice juicy hook for some sort of dark entity to come.
Did you have to say it like that?
I did. And it was subconscious, but that is a testament to my wonderful brain.
And the fact that I hate you so very, very much. So the next trope is Happily Ever After, which was sent in by Night Angel 000. Thank you for the suggestion, Night Angel.
Can
I give you my favorite version of this that I wrote an essay and then the teacher I wrote it for talked to me about it?
Please do.
I wrote an essay about how my favorite happy ending in a book is 1984. So hear me out. If you look at it from O'Brien's perspective.
Interesting.
And Big Brother, it's a happy ending.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
For the protagonist and for the reader, no. But from, you know,
I mean,
for the collective.
A happy ending is only a perspective shift away. It's really all a matter
exactly.
of perspective.
That's my pitch for happy ending.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. I mean, for those...
And I think that's the best example that we could give.
that's the only example really that matters. But just in case our listeners need more,
or haven't read 1984, which is understandable.
Or haven't read 1984. This trope is very Western animation, Western storytelling, Westernized.
Yes.
In the way that it wraps everything up in a nice little bow. That is less mm-hmm. common in Eastern. You can see this in the Miyazaki body of work, in that at the end of Princess Mononoke, the spirit of the forest is dead, but people are going to find a way to muddle through afterwards. But for a mm-hmm. lot of Westernized drama, it is acts of violence and valor, and then bookended by a happily ever after, usually connected with a heterosexual union romance.
And, yeah, there's usually a kiss.
There's usually some sort of kiss, and they lived happily ever
after. And maybe a sunset.
Riding off. The image right here is the Robin Hood the Fox just married carriage, but that also happens in Cinderella.
Yeah.
It's a very Disney-ified ending, which is nice.
Yeah, there's only a couple Disney movies where, like, it doesn't end like
that.
Even, like, Disney Channel original movies that are, like, live action, like, if you look at, like, the High School Musical trilogy, it ends with, like, they all get into the colleges they want, and they happen to be nearby each other, and everything, like, it's just...
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I mean, along the same lines of a High School Musical, which makes me think of musicals, Act One of Into the Woods ends up with kind of, like, this sickening, sweet, happily ever after fairy tale ending.
Right.
And then it goes into Act Two, which is kind of fun. Sondheim can own my entire ass. same thing with Shakespeare. Shakespeare usually ends, if it's a comedy, it'll end with a wedding, and that'll usually be happy.
Right.
So I just rattled off a bunch of things, but what's fun about this trope is that it leads into one of my favorite subversions of this trope. Which is the post-happily ever after. We're so glad that the prince saved whoever from the dragon.
Right.
Now they have this weird power dynamic in the relationship.
Yeah! Yeah!
Where one of them is just like, babe, do the dishes tonight. And she's like, I don't wanna. And he's like, oh, weird. It's almost like I didn't slay a dragon for you. Almost like I didn't, you know, cross a desert for your love.
Yeah.
Or something, you know?
My favorite with this trope is the way Rick Riordan does it, where the book ends all happy, and then he opens up the next book, he's like, so all of that went to shit. Everyone's dead. I don't know who I am. What the fuck? And then, like, you just...
That is so good. That is such, like, a TV ending where they're just like, ooh, we don't know if we're going to be approved for another one. So we're just going to end it's things so good. Real nice. And then immediately things go to shit.
It's so good. Like, literally, like, in between 4 and 5, where it's like, oh, we made it out of the labyrinth. And, like, there's still a war on the horizon, but, like, here we go. And then book 5, it's like, the ship is sinking, Beckendorf.
Uh-oh, things are fucked. Sorry, God chose to allow me to write another book. Let's do it. There are a million fun variations on this trope.
You hear that? What? On my end.
Sorry, wait. God, I didn't hear you when you said a second ago. Oh, are you
blocking me? Are you back?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
No, I can hear you now. I can hear you now.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay, perfect.
Did you work on fixing that? I've been looking.
I really think we're just there's too many signals in New York. I really can't block them out. It's super annoying.
No, it's fine, but I we're trying to be professional here, you know.
I know. Keep on. We should really switch over to XM. Happily Ever After, Whoomst Among Us.
Oh, Who Among Us? Who Among Us? Well,
I think I'm going to be murdered.
Yeah, I think I'm going to murder you.
So I think it's gonna have to be you.
That's all well and good. I don't think my Ever After will ever be terribly happy. You are often more happily in love. So I would toss your hat into the ring in that you die happy.
Will I though? Because you'll be there for it.
Abigail can be there too. She can be there too. I'm not saying this has to be a one-on-one thing.
You know it has to be one-on-one.
I know.
This is a personal thing.
Oh, but imagine if I killed you. Abigail would definitely come and try and kill me about it.
Yeah, but like you'd have the satisfaction of having finally ended me.
Ugh, yes. Well, so I actually, this is going to be a bit of a recycled bedwed behead.
What?
Surprise! I sprung it on you before you could run away.
Before I could tell you another trope that I have.
Before you could tell me another trope, I've got a bedwed behead for you.
Shit, but I've got such a good trope.
That's all well and good. That's nice and all, but I do need to know bedwed behead between a minotaur, a mermaid, and a harpy. But we're gonna change it so that it's like a bird person, a minotaur, and a merfolk.
A merfolk. Fish person. Mm-hmm. Fish person. Can I get a flavor on the sort of these? Because like we've got lots of merfolk. Like what type of merfolk are we talking about? Minotaur, I feel like there's like basically one type of minotaur.
Sure, guards the maze, pretty quiet, pretty big.
Yeah.
So for a harpy, we're going to skew away from the actual true to canon mythology harpy.
Okay.
And we're just going to say more harpy ladies from Yu-Gi-Oh! And then we're going to say for merfolk, it'll be more like Aquaman / Little Mermaid. Aquaman.
So not like you're talking mermaids, not like the 2003 live action Peter Pan starring Jason Isaacs and Jeremy Sumpter. You're talking like Little Mermaid standard merfolk.
Well, the thing is, if that sweetens the pot, if it gives you an incentive to say mermaid.
No, I just need to know what specific type of mermaid we're talking about.
I am opening this mermaid up to the full canon of merfolk. In that if there is really a mermaid that tickles your fancy. Yeah, I'm talking about original mythology in that they are like just evil hags of the sea all the way up to
perfect.
H2O just add water.
Okay, perfect. Cleo, no!
But that also opens it up to like full normal minotaur to House of Leaves to...
Minotaur, yeah. So yeah, I am thinking House of Leaves minotaur. That's, you know,
of course,
the only
of course.
Option.
Do you want to answer first? No. I never answer these first.
Fine. Okay, so... And we're talking harpies as in Yu-Gi-Oh! Harpies.
Well, if an old hag harpy that sings to make you horny really tickles your pickle, then... Please, by all means.
No, because my issue with the Yu-Gi-Oh! Harpies is that their hands are part of their wings.
Oh, that's fair. I get that. But...
You know how I feel about...
I know exactly.
I want to fuck a biblical angel so bad it makes me look stupid.
But the thing is, that is also kind of part of the canon. you know, of harpies.
Okay, so I think the answer is this, is I would bet a harpy to, mm-hmm. you know, get my nails in them wings.
Oh,
I
no.
would marry, what?
I was, the get your nails in them wings is a very...
You know the scene in The Winter Soldier where Bucky shoots that little harpoon thing into Sam's wingsuit and just rips that wing off and immediately kicks him off the building? I want to be Bucky Barnes so bad.
Oh, you want to rip off the wings? Cool. I didn't know if maybe you were into the one having the
no
wings.
No.
Okay, all right. Good to know.
I mean, also, yes, but I understand what we're talking about here.
Right. Cool.
Cool. I would marry a mermaid because that's the type of commitment I'm here for. Like, I want the mermaid to also go out and, like, seduce and drown, like, other sailors and stuff like that and do their cool, like, murder-eating humans business. Mm-hmm. But then, like, we can reunite and have passionate sex and relations where they try and drown me.
So you're more into mermaid-ocean relationship thing in that you're the one the mermaid chose.
Yeah.
Mermaid still goes off and really just messes with sailors.
Of course. They've got a job.
Comes home to you for nice dinners.
Yeah.
Right. Got a job. Has a career.
I would never disrupt either their job or the thing they do for fun.
Right. But mermaid still comes home to you.
Yeah.
And is like, babe, what you got for dinner? And you say, onion soup, honey.
Yeah. And then maybe sometimes I can go and watch as they seduce and drown sailors. And that'll be very sexy for me.
There we go. Because you like to watch sailors get seduced
and murdered.
Drowned.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, it serves them right.
Does that mean you're killing the Minotaur?
Unfortunately, yes. Because here's the thing. I don't think I could kill the Minotaur. Specifically, that when I buy my cool new house with my family and I go meet the Minotaur, I am not making it out.
Sure.
Hand and unlovable hand with the Minotaur. I fully expect to die sitting next to its carcass.
Yep. After you have a long, loving relationship with this mermaid, after you've had one hot fling with a winged something.
It's been a while since the mermaid's been home, and I've been delving deeper and deeper into the house.
And
there was no one there to pull me out.
Oh no! Fair.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, I have to meet the Minotaur.
I am satisfied with this answer.
Where are you? What's your...
Oh, well, you see, I think I would also kill Minotaur for similar reasons, but also for different reasons.
Not into beefy folk.
Well, the thing is, I like to be able to punch whoever I'm with harder than they can punch me.
Yep. Oh my god, yes.
You know what I mean?
The fear of being overpowered in any moment for real, actually.
Yep. I like to be the tallest person in the room. I like to be the person who can deal the most damage. Dungeons
and
Dragons.
I'm always armed,
style.
Even when having sex.
Yeah. Yeah, and this isn't like an I want to hurt people. It's more of an I want to, first of all, I love looming, and second of all...
You do?
I have an aversion to people who loom upon me. I'm like, No. I need to be taller and stronger than whoever has the audacity to attempt a loom upon me. But then also...
I've never been able to loom on you.
And that's why we're still friends. Yeah, anybody who I'm friends with who is taller than I is usually a gangly nerd person. So that's why no Minotaur for me. I would bed a mer person.
Cool.
Because beach is fine. I like to visit there maybe like once in a while.
Right.
And then I would wed a harpy.
Perfect.
Not only can they sing, but wings are fun.
Tell me about the wings, Annalie.
Diggs, you know very well about the wings, and I will not have you impose your wing stuff upon me simply because
you volunteered it.
Simply because I answered a bed, wed, behead with a harpy.
Uh-huh.
I swear to God, I will defame you upon the internet.
Awful lot of things you can do with wings.
Listeners, cancel him. I don't know for what.
Yeah, what are you canceling me for?
Cancel him for something.
There's not... Hey, if you find me a person with wings attached to their body for real, actually, who's offended by me being horny about that, I will make a full YouTube apology. But until then, I don't see what the problem is.
Hello guys. I'm so, so sorry. I've been really beaten up about this. I'm donating all of my funds to Winged People Foundation.
Nikola Tesla knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. Speaking of Tesla.
Fuck that guy. Mm-hmm. Not Tesla, Elon Musk. Fuck Thomas Edison. We love Nikola Tesla. Fuck Elon Musk.
We love Nikola Tesla. We hate Elon Musk. Oh, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Disney as a franchise, all on my list. I will eat.
Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, you're cordially invited to the live taping of Genre Blind, where we make an authentic Hannibal-inspired meal. Your invitations will be in the mail. I'll be wearing flannel.
Hey, listen. What if we actually sent a sealed wax letter to Elon Musk and also Jeff Bezos and invited them very politely to come on to Genre Blind?
Should we just start inviting people?
Let's just start inviting famous people onto Genre Blind to get bullied by us.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
If you come on, we are going to hurt your feelings.
But also, if you email Genre Blind with anybody who you want to break up with, we will also, again,
we will do it.
We'll break up with them. Especially
do
if
you have any famous connections? Send them our way.
If you have any, like, B, C-list celebrities, please send them our way. We would love to have them on.
Is your cousin dating a YouTuber?
I would love to sink my teeth into a YouTuber.
And the context of that changes depending on who the YouTuber is. This is about Markiplier. Anyway.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
The next...
Give me another so trope hot. So anyway, I don't get too carny.
Living ship.
Oh, no!
A ship that's alive and sentient and self-aware. Maybe it's all cybernetic. Maybe it's organic material. But the ship is alive.
Oh, what a good...
Do you want to just start rattling?
Oh, what a... Well, so first of all, let's talk current events, because right now, the Ever Given has just been destroyed.
Ship got loose.
Ugh.
Put it back. This is going to be so old.
I know.
This is going to be so old when this comes out.
It's going to date itself so fast.
Although I am a lifelong... I will out myself on this one. I don't get crushes. I simply do not.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I felt like what I interpret other people describe like crushes to be was when I first saw pictures of the wreck of the Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
I love ships. I love boats. I love seafaring vessels of all kinds. Ugh. I think they're sexy. Ooh, ooh.
Can I say?
So.
Oh, shit. Ah! Ah! What the fuck happened on my...
Why can I just hear, like, Halloween noises?
I don't know what happened. Let's try this again. Oh, I need to have a straight face because my laptop just started screaming at me. Can I just say that actually three separate people have come up to me and said, hey, listen, I think that in a past life I was on the Titanic. And I'm like, statistically improbable.
No.
I don't think you actually
were.
You
were not.
Like, listen, maybe the reason why you think you were and the reason why you know, like, a weirdly large amount about the Titanic and the reason why you feel a strange connection to it is because it's the most famous shipwreck in history. And there's a whole ass
literally
movie about it.
It's also, and it's just, it's flat out cool.
It's
like, there's
cool.
No way. It's the coolest damn yeah. thing. And that's why you feel fucking connected to it, is because it's fucking the coolest shit
it's
ever.
It's like a really cool boat. You probably weren't on it in a past life. I don't want to invalidate you, but
no.
Three different theater people have been like, hey.
No. Hey, have them talk to me. I will prove them wrong.
Yeah. I'm like, really? There weren't... Listen, I know a lot of people died. I know the Titanic is a whole thing statistically.
1,500 died.
And statistically, I'm sorry, Brett, you were not one of them.
Especially when you actually look up, like, the demographic of, like, who was on Titanic.
Sure.
The actual density of, like, very, like, wealthy, well-known people, like, it just increases the odds. Oh. Or sorry, like, it decreases the odds there of, like,
yeah.
Yes, okay, the majority of the people that died were in third class, right?
Yeah.
However, it is still a specific position you are in to be... Okay, I need to stop talking about the Titanic.
Sure. Like
Living ships.
Okay.
TARDIS. So,
Wolf 359, we've got Hera. TARDIS, like you said, yeah.
TARDIS and Doctor Who. The Aurora, that the mechanisms are in.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
The Flying Dutchman.
I was going to say Pirates of the Caribbean. They've got part of the crew, part of the ship.
Pacific Rim.
Oh, yes.
The Jaegers.
Anytime there is a kind of mast of a maiden and she comes alive in some way, you know, which
yeah.
I feel like
like a figurehead.
Oh yes, when the figurehead comes alive, I feel mm-hmm. like that counts.
I feel like it counts. I also feel like it counts. It's like if you treat the ship or the vessel as like another person, like a member of the team. I'm currently writing something in grad school right now. I'm writing like a concept for a TV show. Mm-hmm. And in that, RV Galvani is the name of the ship, is a character. And she changes and the anatomy shifts and stuff like that.
Interestingly enough, I am also writing a thing where it's a afterlife vessel and the heart and soul of the ship is also a living entity.
I love it. I relate heavily to the mechanism's engineer Nastya because Nastya has a romantic and sexual relationship with the Aurora.
Well, there we go.
And if I had access to a sentient ship, oh man, I would spend every day of my life trying to woo that ship.
Oh yes. This trope is cool because I feel like anytime there is a space or sea voyage,
right.
The ship becomes an extra character.
Yeah.
Whether it's just in kind of logistics or whether it becomes like an extra character physically.
For real, yeah.
It's either a main part of the antics.
And that's I think one of the big failings of Supernatural, where they have such an attachment to like the Impala, but she's never like actually part of the crew. Like she can get damaged, but she's always gonna get fixed, and they don't actually live out of her. And by the time like the whole Men of Letters thing happens, they're just taking her destination to destination. They're just living in that big ass clubhouse. Baby was never never a character. I thought at one point she was gonna be human, sort of like what they did with Idris, but like Baby wasn't a character, even though I do believe that Dean had a sexual relationship with her. Baby was never a sentient ship.
Oh, of course. I mean Baby. He loved that car.
Biblically,
he loved that car. I kind of fell off the Supernatural bandwagon when they moved to the clubhouse,
because I'm like,
they are, when the Men of Letters thing opened up, I'm like, oh, they're too far away from their core to be the show that I signed on for.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It actually, in the episode Swan Song, is a central part that's like the reason why Sammy was snapped out of being the literal devil, Lucifer, is because he saw like a scratch on the car that reminded him of his childhood. And that's why this trope, this is such an effective thing, because whatever vessel you have, I mean, I've named every single one of my cars. My one car was Hector, my other car was Leroy, my third car was called the boat. It was technically an Impala, but it was also big and white and a boat, you know.
Did we actually went ghost hunting in your Impala, didn't we?
We did go ghost hunting in my Impala.
Nice.
Yeah. I hope that is a fact that stays with you for your whole life.
It will.
If one day I fade away from your memory, I hope that in your soul you will know that you did go ghost hunting in an Impala.
I'm gonna say living ship has to be me.
Of course it's you.
Before we get called out by other people, yes, the Sam recognizing the scratches on the Impala and reminding me of his childhood and stopping being the literal devil is a callback to dying as yourself. Anyway, living ship is
Uh-oh. You're right. He does die as himself. And I'm so glad that the series ended there with that beautiful trope as a bookend.
And there weren't 10 more seasons.
No, there weren't 10 more seasons. It did end after season 5, and that's all we need. Thank you very much.
But there is a very interesting and fun to watch fan-made version of Supernatural that goes on for 10 more seasons. And they actually got some of the original actors to return. And it's really interesting.
Very interesting.
It's not good, but it's fun.
Sure. I love the fanfic that happened after the show canonically ended and was canceled after season 5. Very good fanfic. None of it's canon, I like it. Sammy died in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
So, along with Adam.
With Adam.
Wait, sorry. I just want to say, before we end, this is you. I cannot stress enough.
Yeah, it's me.
Unless I am sentient ship and you are.
You are the sentient ship and I am the mechanic.
Goddamn mechanic. That sounds bad.
How does that sound bad?
I don't know, man. I don't want you running around in my goddamn corridors.
Hop on the magic school bus.
Run on the magic school. Whoa! The magic school bus.
The magic school bus.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
The magic school bus could be inside you right now and you would never know.
And that is horror at its purest.
Endless. I hope it is. Are you okay, Carlos? Oh. Carlos, if you're in there.
Oh.
And I fell in love instantly. And if you too have fallen in love with Genre Blind, you can follow us at Genre Blind Podcast on Instagram, at AnnieDTArt, and at Momento Mortsafe on both Instagram and TikTok. Also, subscribe to our podcast. Send us emails at genreblindpodcast@gmail.com if you have trope suggestions or famous friends or people you want us to break up with. Do you have anything else you need to plug?
Well, I actually want to finally come out of the closet. I do have a TikTok that I've been posting on in disguise, and I will only reveal it on this podcast and never anywhere else. I'm at Tree in Disguise, and I needed nobody to know that I had a TikTok for a while, but now I'm ready to really be honest.
You're ready to come out as a TikToker.
I'm ready to come out as a TikToker. I'm sprinting towards, here's the thing, I'm sprinting towards 1,000 followers so that I can live stream with you, Diggs.
Well, okay, you have to have 1,000 to go live and 5,000 to go live with someone.
Oh, no!
Get thirst trapping, baby!
Fuck, shit. I'm gonna have to sprint harder. I do the dumbest.
Also, welcome back to life.
Me?
We didn't discuss that you got reanimated between episodes.
Oh, yes, we didn't discuss that I got reanimated. But let's talk about it. It was...
You canonically died in between.
So yeah, let's talk about it. It was a pretty painful process, but I think we could mitigate the effects of rigor mortis by...
What a hussy, saucy little number that was!
That trumpet section almost sounded like music!
Oh, now you stop it.
Applesauce, you know I can't.
Anyway, up next is gonna be Josephine Baker with Sleepy Time Gal.
1, 2, 3, 4.